This story in the Gospel of Luke is probably my favorite story in the Scriptures. Has become that over the last few years. But I think when a lot of us read this story, we get stuck on one question. Why didn't the disciples recognize Jesus on the road? Right? And my most common response to that question is, we don't see what we're not looking for. We know that from life. We can go buy something 100 times, but we don't really notice it's there unless we're looking for it. But as I was thinking about that question this week, I think there's a deeper answer to it. In the Gospels, it always matters to Jesus how people come to recognize him and to realize who he is. So when Jesus heals someone or when he feeds a crowd, he says to the people, "Don't tell anyone." Why is that? I think because Jesus doesn't want to just be known as the divine vending machine. The Scriptures put the spotlight on Jesus, and Jesus puts the spotlight on himself on Holy Week and on the cross. This is how Jesus wants to be known. And the same is true when it comes to the resurrection stories. It matters how the disciples come to know and recognize Jesus. And if we think about them, all of the disciples, there's something specific that allows each of the disciples to recognize Jesus. For Thomas, it's the holes in the hands and the side. For Mary, it's the speaking of her name in John. For Peter, when they're on the boat trying to fish and not catching anything, it's when Jesus tells them to put the net on the other side of the boat and they catch all the fish, and then Peter recognizes that it's the risen Christ. Here, it's in the breaking of the bread. And what I got to thinking this week is that all of these stories about these resurrection encounters with Jesus must not just be the disciples' stories. I think they're also our stories. Because for all of us, there's some sort of process by which we come to recognize Jesus as the risen Lord and Christ. And so as the disciples have these different elements that allow them to recognize him, so it is with us. We have different questions, different needs, different moments and events in our lives that God uses to open our eyes to see that he is here and he is for us and he is alive and moving in this world. And one of those things that is common to most of us as Christians, one of the places where we recognize Jesus is at the table. It's at the table and the breaking of the bread that our eyes are opened to see the invisible God among us. I want to look at this story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and see what are some of the other elements in their process of coming to recognize the risen Christ. And it begins with them wrestling with life as they walk along. It says, on that same day, two of them were going into a village called Emmaus, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. This is significant. You know, these disciples didn't go to the tomb like the women. They might not have been quite as courageous as the women, but they were talking. They were processing the events of the last few days. And this word here, we just read over it in English, all these things that had happened, is an interesting word in the Greek. It's a word for putting the pieces together. So they're trying to process their life with Jesus and the events of Holy Week, the Palm Sunday and the cross and Maundy Thursday and all these things that we just went through. They're trying to piece them together, trying to put together the pieces and figure out what is going on here. They're wrestling with life. And this is when Jesus shows up, as they're allowing themselves to wrestle with the hard questions. Jesus, of course, doesn't make himself known right away. He basically says, "What's up?" He said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" God doesn't always make himself known to us right away. Sometimes what God does first is just stir up something in our life. Stir up some questions in our minds, in our hearts, and that's what Jesus does. And as Jesus speaks to them, I think it's interesting that these disciples preach the gospel as they know it. First, they're maybe a little offended. My translation is, they said to Jesus, "Have you been living under a rock for these last couple weeks?" He said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know?" And he said to them, "Well, what things? What are these things that have happened?" And they go on to say, "Things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests handed him over to be crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And besides this, it's now the third day since these things took place. And moreover, some women of our group astounded us, and they were at the tomb and didn't find his body, and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of us went to the tomb, and they saw that the tomb was empty as well." You can see the disciples basically telling the news about Jesus as much as they know it, as they wrestle with faith and doubt and hope and despair in the presence of this stranger. And it's then that Jesus brings the scriptures into their conversation. Because then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the things about himself and all the scriptures. Jesus is weaving together the scriptures and real life for them. Because remember, while we think of the cross and the resurrection as part of the scriptures, the cross and the resurrection were not part of these disciples' scriptures. They were just part of their real life at that time, that they're just trying to figure out, like we have circumstances in our lives, good and bad, that we're just trying to figure out. And Jesus brings the scriptures in and starts weaving together to them all, for them, all of these things that have happened. What is going on? And as he does this, later we find that the disciples said, "Were not our hearts burning?" As Jesus had entered into their faith and their doubt and their hope and their despair and this wrestling with life, and started to bring the scriptures in and help them to see how their story was a part of God's story. So the disciples, Jesus shows up as the disciples are wrestling with life. And then he shows up a little more in some timely hospitality. Because they arrive in Emmaus, and it says as they came near the village, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. I wonder what would have happened if they hadn't invited him to stay. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. But they did. Now, when it comes to hospitality, for us, there are always excuses, especially with a stranger. They could have said, "Well, we're tired. We're in the process of grieving. We have places to be. He probably has places to be." Not only that, he's just called them fools. So this might not be the first person you invite into your home or to your meal that night. But still, they invite him in. And it's so important, because as we follow Christ, we don't always have the God's eye view of the situation. We don't always know what's going on in someone's life or who someone really is. They didn't know that this was Jesus, obviously. The reasons that the text gives for their hospitality was not that he was their friend or that he was their savior. All it says is, "It is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." This is a stranger who is in need. And so they practice hospitality. There's this great verse in Hebrews chapter 13. He says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." And this is a story of Abraham that the writer of Hebrews is referring to, but it could just as well be Jesus. They didn't know who this man was. They just knew he was in need. They were practicing what Jesus preached in that moment. And so, when they enter the house, this is when they begin to see Jesus. it says in verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, which is interesting that Jesus becomes the host, and we don't know how this happened. It could be that Jesus was the oldest among them. It could be that they had recognized his wisdom or his knowledge, and so they decided not only to bring him in, but to honor him with being the host of the meal. And he takes bread and gives thanks and breaks it and gives it to them. And it's through Jesus' actions that they recognize him. They remembered these same words, these same actions, I guess, being done in the Last Supper when Jesus took bread and after giving thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them. And they would have also remembered the time when the crowds around them were hungry. And Luke says that Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And now their eyes are opened to see Jesus. You see, this is how Jesus wants to be known, not from his outward appearance, but from the inside, who he is, what he does. This is how he's recognized. To these disciples, he is recognized as the stranger in need of hospitality. And he's recognized as the unexpected host to a simple meal with a stranger. And so at this time, we're going to take a break from the sermon so that we can approach the table and hopefully have our eyes opened in new ways to see how God is revealing himself to us in our lives and in the simple practices of wrestling with life and encountering strangers and in sharing a meal. Now the disciples recognize Jesus and he vanishes from their sight, but the story doesn't end there. And so we have a very short final scene for this message. After the disciples see Jesus, see the risen Christ, and after he disappears from them, they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" And when your heart burns within you, you have to do something about it. And so it says, that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were already saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon, Peter." Then they, the disciples who had encountered Jesus in the bread, they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And really, we shouldn't be surprised by this, because if the disciples were willing to talk about Jesus in their doubt and in their despair, how much more are they excited to share the good news of Jesus in their hope and in their joy? There's a writer, I have a book of his in my office, and he writes about evangelism. And a lot of us, when we hear evangelism, think about Billy Graham or big programs or events or things to draw people into the church. But this is how he defines evangelism. His name is Michael Green. He says that evangelism is living with Jesus just below the surface. Living with Jesus just below the surface. In other words, someone shouldn't have to dig very far in your life before they start to see Jesus. Because if Jesus is at the center of our lives, if Jesus, as we say, is our life, and Jesus is who we are, Jesus can't help but come up. What is it about you that lies just below the surface? People don't have to dig very far in my life to know that I'm a Buckeyes fan or any other Cleveland teams or Ohio stuff, you know? People don't have to dig very far now to learn that I live in Toledo. People don't have to dig very far to learn a whole variety of about how much I love my wife or what beautiful children I have. They don't have to dig very far to find out those things. But if Jesus is my life at the center, they shouldn't have to dig very far for that either. I've been talking recently with a couple of our brothers, Chuck Galetsky and Jim Depth, and We've been talking, and they've shared stories with me about how, as they've been really seeking God more and opening the scriptures for themselves, and their faith has been growing, how they've just been in conversations at the grocery store or somewhere else where their faith has just come up with strangers, because that's who they are. Not that they're going out of their way to, you know, wear signs on their, you know, on themselves or anything like that, but that's just who they are. Jesus is at the center of their life, and to find out about them is to find out about Christ and what God is doing. The communion table, we talked last week about how it then shapes our family tables. But then it goes to all of the tables where we break bread and where we encounter other people. Because the good news that Christ is risen is who we are as Christians. And the good news that Christ is risen, that God loves them and is active in their lives even now, even if they don't see it, is not only who we are, but is what people need to know. And so it comes up. Practically, she's not here today, but I was talking with Tammy Weiland, and she told me about, she had come in to meet with me one day, and she had told me that day at work, one of her coworkers was sitting next to her and was normally up and, you know, bubbly and all this stuff, and that day wasn't. And so at one point, Tammy said, "Hey, what, you know, what's going on?" And this woman started to just said, you know, things are not good, and started to tell a little bit of the story, and Tammy said, "No, let's take a break and let's go into another room and let's really talk about this." And they talked, and she allowed this woman to wrestle with life. Like Jesus on the road and says, what's going on? What things? Tammy just asked questions. Allowed her to wrestle with life and was able to pray for her and share good news and hope. At the very least, that she was there to talk to. This is what we do. This shouldn't be foreign to our experience as Christians, as we wrestle with life and invite others in and practice hospitality and talk about Jesus. This is how we live with people who have encountered the risen Christ. So, Jesus shows up when we wrestle with life, and Jesus shows up when we see him in the stranger who is in need. Jesus shows up when we break bread, and Jesus shows up when others begin to see God's story of love and grace and forgiveness and hope at work in our lives. So if you have encountered the risen Christ, if your eyes have been opened to see Christ with you, then it's time to share. To share the story. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.